All right, we're going to continue our study. We're in Deuteronomy at the end of chapter 5. You know, I didn't take the time, if somebody ever does that, it'd be interesting to find out how many times in here the Lord basically says, obey me. I mean, all through this section, chapter 5 and 6, it's over and over and over and over again. And, you know, you would think, are we hard-hearing, Lord, or something? And he's saying, yes, you are. You know, or do we not get it? And he'll say, no, you don't. You know, so he keeps repeating it over and over and over again. And when you see that, you know, it lets us know that we have no excuse, you know? We can't say, well, we didn't know. And they can't say that because the Lord was so precise and so repetitive. So he knows us. So he does keep reminding us over and over again. And let's just jump into our passage. The one verse we looked at last time in chapter 5, and I wanted to jump in that again, is in verse 29. But we're going to back up a couple of verses here because I want to pull in the context a little bit. In verse 27 of chapter 5, Moses is recounting for the people some of the events that happened when the Lord came down on the mountain and gave them the law. And it was a very scary time for the people. And the people came to this conclusion. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27, they said, you go near. They're telling Moses that, and I think it's kind of funny if you put just verse 26 with it. They said, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fires we have and lived? Well, the answer is obviously Moses, because he's talked to the Lord quite a bit, you know. They're basically, to me, it looks like they're saying, we don't want to be like you, Moses. We want you to go up there, though. We don't want to get in that place that you're in. So it shows us again we need an intermediary. There's someone to come between us and God. But in verse 27, their solution is they said, you go near Moses and you hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. You know, so like I said, it's funny. They're saying, we don't want to go up there, but it's okay if you go up there and you hear from God. And if you live, then come back and tell us, you know. But they said, whatever you tell us, we'll do it, okay? And then it goes on in verse 28, then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, Moses said. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this speech with people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Because if they come up there without a sacrifice, then they are in extreme danger. We mentioned that last time. Verse 29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And it's a real amazing statement the Lord says, because he says, man, if they just had this heart in them, you know, that they would always have this fearful respect of me, and they would always obey what I tell them to do. Because the Lord is telling them the safest way to go in life. He is trying to get them to see this is the direction to get to a good life. Because there's a lot of folks that have not followed the ways of the Lord, and they have a messed up life. And they don't realize they're walking around a minefield in this world. And the Lord is trying to say, I have the safe path. Follow my ways and you will be protected. You will be exactly where I want you to be. You'll have hardships for sure because I want you to grow, but it'll be the safest, the best place to be. So that verse is so amazing to me because the Lord says, if they only had that kind of heart, that they would always obey me. And it's because the Lord knows that they don't. They don't have that kind of heart, you know. We know the end of the story. Israel didn't do too well at all in following the directions of the Lord. And we can't say that we've lived perfectly for the Lord ever since the day we trusted Christ either, because we've got this sin nature, which they had too. You know, and it just draws us the other direction. There's that fight going on the Bible talks about in the New Testament between the flesh and between the spirit. And it will be continuing on a battle until the day we take our last breath here and leave this sinful flesh behind and go to be with the Lord. So the Lord says all that they would do this, but unfortunately he knows that they won't, and that's sad. But you know, thankfully, the Lord has another plan, because he knows that man is dust, and he knows that the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. God's plan to take his people to heaven is not based on the works that they have done, but it's based on who they belong to. Okay? And we praise the Lord that he redeemed us and brought us to himself. So Jesus will take us to heaven because he paid for our sins. He did the work. He bought us for himself when he died on the cross. He paid for us in his own blood, okay? And we cannot get to heaven on our own. Only Jesus saves, all right? So praise the Lord, he's got another plan, because if we had to do this, if we had to do what the Lord's telling them to do here, we couldn't do it either. I mean, it's easy for us to point a finger at them and say, man, they failed the Lord. How could they do that? Well, we could look in the mirror too and say, how could you do that? How could you not obey the Lord in everything, you know? And to me, it's so awesome we have a chance like on mornings like this where we get to set everything in the world aside and just turn our hearts toward God and just lift our voice in song, praising him. And then it seems like the Lord clears our thinking, you know, and you start thinking about the times this past week where you weren't as faithful to the Lord as you wanted to be. And you're thinking, Lord, why can't I always have the mindset and the heart that I have right here, right now, that says everything's for you, Lord, you know? Yeah, so the Lord says he'd love us to have that, and we will someday when we're with him in glory. But now we got the struggle, and it will continue on just like it has for them. But look at that amazing promise at the end of verse 29. The Lord said that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's what God wants for people, that things would go well with them and their children forever, okay? And that's something that we need to hold on to, because the enemy's trying to always send people across your path. You try to talk to them about the Lord, and they say, oh, I don't think God's that good. Why would he do this? Why would he allow that to happen and stuff? You don't know the Lord. You just don't know him. He's an awesome God. Everything he does is good and right and just. You just need to know him better to understand. If you can, we're not going to get it all. We won't understand it all, but you need to get to know the Lord. So verse 30, as it goes on, go and say to them, return to your tents. So I thought it was interesting. The Lord was telling them through Moses that, okay, you don't have to go out in the mountain. Moses can do that. You guys just go back to your tents, you know. And it's kind of interesting picture of, if that's all you want, then sure, go back there, you know. Verse 31, but as for you, stand here by me, the Lord's saying to Moses, and he's recounting this to them, so this is in the past. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. So the Lord says, again, to teach them so that they would do them. Okay, and that's the direction the Lord has. And that's the same for us. As we're sitting under the teaching of God's word, as we're studying the word of God, it is not for head knowledge. It's for us to learn how to obey our Lord better and also to find a better life. Man, the Lord wants us to have that abundant life. And that keeps coming up as we look at this section too. Excuse me. Verse 32, therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So therefore, the Lord again, he says, be careful in obeying the Lord. Be careful. And isn't that something? That's the thing we seem to be most loose about in our obedience to the Lord. We'll say, we'll get it later, or, oh, I didn't do it right this time. Maybe next time. You know, we just are not as careful as the Lord would have us to be. But he said, Lord has commanded you to do these things in verse 32. And he says this, you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And he's going to keep bringing this in front of them, that the Lord wants them, you know, to have a great life. He wants them to be able to enjoy life. He wants them to have a long life, you know, on days that are just rich and filled with the Lord. And that's his desire for people. So he brings it up over and over again. You know, if somebody reads through these passages here and comes to the conclusion that God is mean or anything, I'm thinking you need to read them again and again, because the Lord wants you to have a wonderful life. He really does. You know, he's gonna have you grow through some trials and stuff, but in the long run, he wants you to have a rich, full life. That's what he's after, okay? So the Lord tells him here, I don't want you to turn to the right, don't turn to the left. He's saying don't change his commands, don't veer away from them at all. So when it comes down to it, it's our choice to receive God's special blessings or to reject them and walk in our own selfish ways. You know, it really comes down to our choice. And we make the wrong decision, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Can't blame the Lord. He wants things to go well for us, okay? We get in chapter 6, it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them," and that word observe means to obey them, "in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, there's a lot in that. We want to chew on a few things here. Again, the Lord said in verse 1 there that he wanted to teach them his statutes and his judgments, and the reason would be so that they would know them and that they would obey them when they go in and they possess the promised land. So God is trying to prepare their heart. He said, "I want you to know this stuff. So when you go in the land, you don't fall for all the junk that's around you. There's going to be all kinds of nasty stuff in that world around you, and he doesn't want you to fall for any of that." So the Lord is trying to do that with us too. He's trying to prepare our heart, because we go out into this nasty world too, and there's a lot of evil out there, a lot of things tugging at us, trying to get us to go to the right or the left of what the Lord has said. And the Lord says, "I want you to be careful to learn these things and obey these things." Goes on then in verse 2, he said that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, and notice it's keeping all of them, and his commandments, which I command you. And it's not just for you, it's for you, your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So the goal was that after they learn these things, then the fear of the Lord, which the Lord keeps bringing up, if you notice here, the fear of the Lord would help them. It would help motivate them to keep and obey all of his statutes and his commandments. All right, and that is a good, healthy motivator for us, that the Lord, he's a fearful God. He's one that we need to respect. The Lord, because he allows us a lot of grace and a lot of room, we might tend to think, well, I can take advantage of that then. And the Lord was very clear in Romans 6, the New Testament. It says, just because his grace abounds much more than our sin, you know, should we continue to sin? And he says, no way. Absolutely not. So the Lord is very clear on that one. So that was his goal, that fear would help them obey. And they were to pass these things on to their children and their grandchildren. So it wasn't to end with them, just like it's not to end with us. We're to bring the teachings of the Lord into our families, into our homes, okay? And they were to obey these things, not just for a little while, the Lord said, but all the days of your life. So for their entire life. So the Lord's asking for a life commitment, and that's what he still asks for us today. And then the end result of that was that their days would be prolonged. And again, he brings that up all over again. And that means that they wouldn't just live in the land a long time, but that also includes that the days would be full and they would be rich and they would be that abundant life. Now remember, the commandments of the Lord were to protect the people. That was going to protect them when they go into this wicked place. And it was to keep the people personally in a holy place so they could enjoy fellowship with the Lord, who is a holy God. Okay? Verse 3 then, as it went on, when he says, if you notice, "Hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it or obey it." And it said that the Lord wanted things to go well with them and to multiply them greatly. He wanted them to be able to fully enjoy that land flowing with milk and honey. And by the way, that milk and honey, that wasn't a cheap thing. That was a luxury to have those things. So the Lord really wanted to bless them. So the principle we get, and I've been bringing this up a couple of times, and hopefully it really sinks into us. The principle is this: all God's commands lead to a good life, not a bad life. You know, because I know when you run across folks, they say, "Oh, you're one of those Christian do-goodies, you know, or something, and you can't do nothing. You can have no fun or nothing else, you know. And that's just the devil trying to get you to think you need to enjoy the junk in this world. And the Lord says, you know, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, you know, Moses had the heart that he's looking for the future, man. I want a really good life. So, yeah, we're tempted the same way they were back then. But the Lord encourages us. I want you to have a good life, a great life. I'm not trying to tell you how to have a bad, sad, miserable life, okay? Let's go on then. In this next section, in verses 4 to 9, these verses are called the Shema. And these are still big with Israel, Israelis today who are trying to follow the Lord. They need to come to Christ fully. But for those who are still trying to hold on to their Old Testament religion, they call this the Shema. And it's the basic confession of the faith in Jerusalem, in Judaism. So they're very familiar with those that are still following, trying to follow the Lord under that system. And it begins here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And the word Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. So that's why it comes from this section. And as it says, the Lord our God, it's a reminder that they are in a relationship with the Lord. And we can say the same thing. You know, I thought it was so cool in the New Testament when Jesus said, here's how you can pray. You can say, "Our Father." And the religious leaders, man, they cringe to hear that. How dare you say God is your Father? But the Lord wants us in a relationship like that. So we just praise him, you know. The Lord our God, we can say those words too. It goes on and says in verse 4, the Lord is one. And that was to remind them that there's only one true living God, since they're going into a land that was going to be saturated with false gods. And that's a good reminder for all of us that there is only one true living God, so nothing else in this life or this world deserves our worship but him. Okay? Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it tells us here that we're supposed to love the Lord our God. So it's a relationship he wants to have. That's amazing. We talked about this a little bit last week. Other religions, you know, they say you have to serve the God, and they're pretty hard on that. God wants to have a love relationship. It's all about love, okay? And the Lord says here, with that love relationship, as he's telling us how much we're supposed to love the Lord, he deserves all. If you notice the word all repeated numerous times there, and that means as much as we have to give. Now remember, love is not just a feeling. And we mentioned this last time too. It's an action word, okay? To love someone means that you want to spend time with them, that you want to please them, that you don't want to hurt them or disappoint them. You know, all those are actions we take, and the desire is to love the Lord that way, a real love relationship. Now, it says here, and we need to chew on these just a minute, it says, with all your heart. That means to love him from the center of our being, okay? It means being sincere, really meaning it in our heart, not just an outward action like the Pharisees did. You know, the Lord gives us their example, I think, to see how bad it looks when we say we love the Lord on the outside, but there's an emptiness on the inside. The Pharisees, they loved their rules, but they didn't really love the Lord. Remember, Jesus said to them, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." Man, we don't ever want to hear the Lord say that to us, you know. We want to make sure our hearts are on fire for the Lord. Our hearts are serious that we want to serve the Lord from the center of our being. He also says, with all your soul. The Hebrew word here is the word referring to emotions, okay? And it means to not shut down your emotions or hide your emotions, but to allow them to be open to the Lord, okay? I'm sure you've seen how stiff and somber some people get when they say, we're going to be spiritual now, you know? That's not what the Lord intended. I don't know who started that idea that we're supposed to get really somber and sad-looking, you know, when we're going to try to be spiritual. But the Lord tells us in Romans 12, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, the Lord created our emotions, so there's nothing wrong with them. All right, now to keep it in balance, just so someone doesn't go off on this one, it doesn't mean you let your emotions go wild either. Okay, so I'm talking about you don't go wild and disrupt the service when folks are trying to focus on the Lord, because some places do that too, you know, and it becomes just an emotional thing. The Lord gave us our emotions, and he doesn't want us to mask them when we come before him. We should be open, you know, to love the Lord and have our emotions involved in that too. Then he says to love the Lord with all of your strength. And that means with all of your energy, all of your might, and all of your commitment. It means loving the Lord with all the strength he can muster. Okay? The Lord tells us to be doers of the word, the New Testament, and not hearers only. You know, that means that if the Lord says, do this, then you do it. You just don't say, yeah, we should do that, you know. I know that runs through our mind when we hear stuff from the Word. We say, yeah, we should start doing that, you know. But we need to actually do it. If he says, stop doing that, then stop doing that, you know. And if he says, believe this truth, then we should believe it with all of our heart. And if he says, you're believing something wrong, then we need to change our thinking on whatever that is, okay. So remember when Jesus told Peter, this passage has so much in it, when Peter came back, you know, and the Lord said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You know, and I love that picture there because I'm sure Peter was tired and frustrated. They didn't catch one fish. You know, that's got to be tough for a fisherman to come in and have to admit that, you know. So I'm sure he was tired and frustrated, but he did what the Lord sent anyway with all of his strength, whatever he had left, you know. And sometimes when it's the hardest thing to do, when you're at the end of your strength, and the Lord says, I want you to go further, you know, or you think you're at the end of your patience with someone. The Lord says, I want you to be more patient. Wow. You know, it's when love is the hardest there to do, that's when the greatest love can be seen. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Remember the garden? He's begging his father, Lord, if there's another way. It was hard. But he did go. He went for you and for me. And his greatest love was seen in that. Wow. Okay? Yeah, so be ready. You know, when we think, I'd like to be to the point where I say, Lord, I'm all rested up and everything. So, man, let's go do something, you know? And Lord says, nah, not yet. You got too much energy. I'm going to wait till you're tired. And then I'm going to say, now let's go out there and do something. It's like, oh, Lord, not now, you know. And Lord says, yeah, you love me, don't you? Yeah. So our principle then, our love for God should be the basis for our obedience. Should be the basis for that. Make a commitment today to love the Lord, not with a shallow feeling that some call love, but with a wholehearted, sincere, give it all devotion to the Lord. Now, you might say, well, I don't know if I can do all that. I mean, you mean with all of my heart and all of my soul, all my strength? Well, wait a minute. How would it sound again? We mentioned this before. If you're up there with your bride or your groom on the wedding day, and the minister says to you, do you take this person for better or for worse, in good times or in bad, and sickness and in health? And you say, well, I don't know if I can do all that. You know, well, come on. You know, God wants us to love him for real. You know, you look at how much he has loved us. Ephesians 1 says this, he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. God has loved us a long, long, long time before we ever were aware of it. You know, he deserves to have us love him back with everything we got. You know, as short as this life is, we'll have eternity where we get to love him, and that'll be an easier thing to do because our flesh won't be fighting us then. But now is when that love can be seen, when our flesh is fighting us. Verse 6 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, meaning they're to be part of you. They're to be interwoven into your life. You know, for us, the Bible is the most important thing in our life. It's supposed to be. John 15 said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And that word abide there, it means to make itself at home. So if we make God's word at home in our heart, you know, the Lord says, I've got an amazing life that you're going to see if you do that. And man, yes, praise the Lord. He does some amazing things when we get out of the way and let him work. Verse 7, he said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And the Lord says to teach them diligently. And it's because it takes work to do this, because there is so much going against you. You've got the world, the flesh, and the devil going against you. So we have to be diligent in teaching them to our kids. And in our country, I think we really fall back on that. When we let the church take care of it, or we let someone else take care of it, thinking that we don't have that responsibility. But no, the Lord says we do. And look how he brings it there. He says, I want you to talk about them. He says, when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and you wake up. What is left besides that, right? So the things of the Lord should be part of our normal, daily conversation. And I know it's hard for us, but don't shy away from talking and teaching about the Lord, okay? It should really be that close to our heart, that we're just in normal conversation. It just comes out of us, you know? Now, the Israelites, they were to make God a part of their everyday experiences. You know, whether they walk, sit down, rise up, go to bed, whatever they're doing. And we too should bring God into every aspect of our lives, not just into our church time, okay? And the Lord, you know, he says you want to tell these your kids, your family this over and over again, and it's because they need repetition just like we do, huh? The Lord was saying there too that they were to have one God on their minds every moment of every day. Wow. And in all honesty, when you think about what the Lord, how perfect he lays this out, that we have to do all of this all of the time, every moment, every day. Honestly, there was only one person who was ever able to do that, and that was Jesus, right? That's why he was able to nail those ordinances to the cross, because he had fulfilled the law perfectly and completely. Remember, Jesus said, I don't do anything that the Father doesn't want me to do. I don't say anything that the Father doesn't want me to say. What an amazing testimony to be able to say that. Wow. You know? And man, we thank the Lord because he loved us that much. Okay? So when we look at these, and the Lord keeps that bar up there, because if he lowered it at all, we would pull that thing down as far as we could get it. You know, we want to live on the edge. But he keeps that up there as a perfection. He said, this is what you need to do. All right? Now, we're not condemned if we don't make that, but the Lord knows we need that as a goal in front of us. So don't be discouraged when you see this and say, man, I don't think I can do that. Lord says, I'm with you. We'll do it. We'll do what you do the best you can. Give it everything you got. Love me with all you have, and it'll be all right. Okay? You have a much better life than if you don't. That is for sure. Now, verse 8 says, you shall bind them, all these laws and everything, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So the Lord said, I want you to bind them as a sign on your hand. He mentions the hand because it's on everything that you do. When you're working, be focused on the Lord. Be thinking about the Lord as is possible. I know sometimes you have to think about what you're doing so you don't hurt yourself or someone else, but, you know, keep your thoughts on the Lord. He says to have these as frontlets between your eyes. So on everything that you see, you know, have the thoughts of the Lord on that. He even says on the doorposts of your house, meaning in your home, keep your thoughts on the Lord. And even on your gates. So when you leave your home, make sure you take the Lord with you. He's going with you anyway. You know, just make sure you keep him on your mind. And it's interesting. They took a few verses from Deuteronomy 6, this passage, and also Deuteronomy 11, and they wrote them on a small scroll. And they put them in two small leather boxes, and then they would tie one on their forehead, the Jews that were following this, and then the other one would be wrapped around their arm and down on their hand, and wrapped around their hand. So they call them still prayer straps. They still have those today, and they still go through some of these rituals. These leather boxes that have the scripture in them, they were called phylacteries. And that's just the name they use for that. But the point was, don't leave them as symbols, but remember to obey them. You know, as we noticed when Jesus came on the scene there with his earthly ministry, the Jews were notorious for making a ritual of everything. But it wasn't the ritual God's interested in. It's the meaning behind the ritual. Remember, even the sacrifice. Remember when the Lord brought them, he said, I'm interested in mercy. I'm not interested in the sacrifice. All of the things in the sacrifice were done that we would have a heart for God. But God wants to show mercy, and he knows I can only do that if you bring the sacrifice. It's got to be the right one, too. And that's why we got to come today by Jesus, or we cannot find God's mercy. Okay? It goes on then in verse 9 when he said, writing them on the doorposts and on the house there. Those are called mezuzahs, and they still use those today. But it's interesting, Back in the Bible times, when this is written right here, mezuzah was the word for the doorpost. These days they have it as a little different, but it was actually the word for doorpost. And think about this. Amazing the things that happened on that mezuzah, on that doorpost. That was the place where the blood was applied for the first Passover, on that doorpost, that mezuzah. And it was there that the servant who wanted to serve his master for life would have his ear pierced, on that mezuzah, that doorpost. So they have a really important meaning in the things of the Lord. Even in Proverbs, it mentions, one of the Proverbs says, blessed is that one who is anxious at the post of the Lord, the door of the doors of the Lord, or something to that effect. I think it's Proverbs 34, I think. No, wrong proverb, sorry. I have to check that one. Anyway, in the proverb there, it's basically saying, you're blessed if you're eager at the doorpost, waiting to learn from the Lord. Pretty cool, the way the Lord uses that word. Now today, that word mezuzah has been transferred from the doorpost to actually mean the little box that contains the scriptures that's attached to the doorpost. So if you go into a Jewish home today that has that they're trying to follow the ways of the Lord, they'd have this little box as you enter the doorway. You would see it, and a lot of times you'll see them touching it as they go in or they go out. And it's this sign they're trying to fulfill this here. But again, it's not just to have it as a sign, but to remember to obey what the Lord said, you know. And we got to be careful, too. We like to make things to help us have remembrance of stuff, but don't worship that. Worship the one, you know, behind it. That's like communion itself. Communion is a reminder of who? Jesus. We don't worship communion. We don't look at it as the thing. It's Jesus. It's pointing to him. So verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, the Lord's telling them, when you go into that land, when you conquer that territory, you will be taking over their homes, you'll be taking over their provisions, their wells, everything that they had. So what's going to happen, basically, is all of these people are going to become wealthy overnight. Okay? Boy, that's something to have to deal with. Having wealth can have a couple of dangers attached with it. Not always, but they are possible, okay? One danger of wealth is the danger of forgetting the Lord. And Lord's going to talk about that a little more in verse 12. Another danger, though, is the danger of it drawing a person into materialism, where you want more and more and more. So be sure to remember where you came from, and who rescued you from that place, because he's going to bring that up for the folks here as he goes on in verse 12. It says, then you need to beware, lest you forget the Lord who did what? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So the Lord says, do not forget where you came from and who brought you from that place. You are rich now, but you were slaves before. So don't forget what God has done. Do not forget the Lord. And isn't it interesting? The Lord says when you get to this place where you're full, man, it says when you have eaten and everything and you are full, then beware. Isn't that interesting? Don't forget the Lord. Because for the Israelites, if they forgot the Lord, then they would take on the culture of the evil Canaanites. And that did happen, didn't it? It's the same danger for us. If we don't continue to walk with the Lord, we'll be conformed to the evil culture around us. Now, sometimes I've found, and you probably have too, when we start to drift, you know, we forget the Lord, get a little lackadaisical in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we get a wake-up call from the Lord. Maybe he allows a crisis, you know, and wouldn't it be great if we didn't need a crisis to get us closer to the Lord, you know, or to get us to more sincere in our prayer to the Lord. I don't know if anybody's been listening to Christian radio this week, but maybe it's just the Lord trying to get my attention here, but I don't know how many times it seemed like I turn on the radio, different days, different times of the day, different people talking, and they're saying, pray, 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 pray. My goodness. I think the Lord's really trying to get our attention. Prayer is really the key. You want to see God move? Pray. You know, I'm so thankful we take prayer requests and we get to see what's going on in people's lives and hearing the results of how God works in their lives. It's such a joy to see the Lord work. And it's all prayer, man. The Lord loves people, but he wants us to pray. He wants us to be able to see his hand at work. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. So a very strong warning from the Lord. He says, if you're going to be just like all the rest of the folks, I really don't have a need for you to be around and be my people. You know, because they're supposed to be reaching the world through what God's doing in their life. So as the Lord's talking to them in those verses 13, 14, and 15, he is saying, draw close to the Lord and stay close to him. And that's the challenge, you know. Like I said, it's pretty easy for us this morning as we lift our voices in worship and praise to draw close to the Lord. The challenge is when we leave here and to stay close to the Lord, right? Because then the world comes to meet you, right, you know. Yeah, so stay close to the Lord because he loves you. Cleave to him. That same idea we have for marriage. Cleave to the Lord and don't go wandering off to serve other gods, other things in this world. They are not worth it. They are passing away. They'll be destroyed one day. Verse 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. And that was a place where you remember they were whining for water. Instead of praying and asking the Lord, they were whining. And ouch, that kind of hurts, you know. Again, we should be praying instead of whining about it. Excuse me. Verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And we got to lean on his understanding, not ours. That it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. And the point there is, just focus on obeying the Lord. You know, the Lord makes it simple for us. He says, just focus on me. Focus on obeying me. You know, I shared this with a Friday night group. I had an issue this week, and I was praying about it, asking the Lord help on and stuff, and I was getting kind of flustered about it and everything, and I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. You got to give me something. I really need some help. So the Lord took me to Psalm 101, and it starts out by saying, I will sing praises to you, Lord, and I will sing of your goodness and your justice and your love and stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, I wanted an answer. I didn't want that, you know, and I praise the Lord because he was just saying, forget the stuff you're focusing on. Focus on me. Just focus on me. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, when it finally sank in, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, okay, I hear you. My focus is simply to be on you and obeying you. I don't have to worry about all the other stuff. Isn't that what Jesus said? You know, he said, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Just seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness and all this other stuff. Got to take care of that. Excuse me. Go on a little bit further here, verse 19. Sorry, verse 20. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? So he's saying here, when your son's being raised in that prosperity that he promised them, the great land, the great life. When he's being raised in that, he described there in verse, last section, 17 and 19, when he says, why do we have God's laws? And what difference does it make if we obey him? You know, here's their answer, verse 21. Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. You might want to circle that phrase. How many times does the Lord have to keep telling us, you know, it's for our good. It's not for a bad life. For our good always. that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And I love that statement in verse 23 too, where he said he brought us out that he might bring us in, you know? And the Lord brought us out of the junk of the world. He brought us out of our sin and our slavery to sin, that he might bring us into the good life, the life of the Lord, you know? Then it says in verse 25, then it will be righteous for us, righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Now, it's interesting because the Lord is saying, if you do everything I've told you, every single thing, then it's going to be righteousness for you. Wow. Lord, I don't know if we can do all of those things. We can try, but we're not going to make it because our flesh causes us to stumble, you know? And Lord has to tell us in the New Testament, push aside all those things that cause you to stumble, all those weights that are holding you down. He has to keep telling us that because our flesh is always there, always trying to move junk in our life, always trying to take over, you know? That's always there. But the Lord said, if you can do all of these things, then it's going to be righteousness for you. Obviously, we need the Lord to do this stuff, right? That's why we need Jesus. He's the only one who could do all of these things perfectly, completely. And he did it for us. Isn't that amazing? So you know what? If you're in Christ, you have done this in Christ. It's his. He's did it for you. And you now have righteousness. Because Lord said that's the only way to get it. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's his. But what an interesting statement. And we'll stop with this here. But the answer for these people. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. The answer for these people, when the Lord says, what do you tell your child when they ask you, why all this stuff from God? The answer is your testimony. What God did in your life. Man, make sure you pass it on to your kids. Tell them when the Lord is doing stuff. Let them know the power of our God. Let them know the love of our God. As it says here, he rescued us with a mighty hand. He saved us. He did that with us. He saved us with his mighty hand. You know, the biggest miracle that ever happens is salvation. Can you imagine taking someone who is an enemy of God, that's what the Bible says, and God not only rescues them from that place, he pays for them, washes them completely, they have no sin, completely washed away by the blood of Christ, and he doesn't even stop there. Then he says, I want you in my family, and he brings us into his family. He says, you are my son, you are my child, and I want to be with you forever, and I'll never stop loving you, ever stop loving you. I love that we were singing this morning, if you notice, the love of the Lord endures forever for his children, for those of us that he loves, those that are in his family, forever. Man, we praise the Lord for that. So the right answer for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, is your testimony about God, what he's done in your life. And you don't have to stop there. You can share it with your friends, your coworkers, everybody else too, you know. Let the word out about our God and what he's done. If there's someone here today who doesn't know Jesus, man, he's waiting for you. He's waiting to change your life, to give you a good life. You got to come to the Lord, though. You got to come the way he said. You got to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus alone paid for our sins on the cross. He paid for them completely. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Paid in full is what that term means. And we praise the Lord for that. If you're a believer here today and you've been struggling, maybe the Lord's putting his finger in some things in your life. He's saying, we need a circumcision there. We need to cut the flesh away, get that stuff out of your life, and obey immediately. Say, yes, Lord. If he says it's got to go, it's got to go. If the Lord says, I've been calling you to do something, you haven't done it, then say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We need to have that immediate obedience to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're our God. And we can say, the Lord our God. Thank you so much, Lord. Father, for folks that are here today, I thank you for bringing the people you brought today that they might hear your voice and obey your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with that. Lord, I know as you do that we're just dust and our spirit is willing, but the flesh is not helping us, Lord. I just pray you'd fill us with your spirit, Lord. Get us out of the way. Use us for your glory. Lord, we want to enjoy these days at the abundant life that you want us to have that will come out of our life, Lord, and bless others. And we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Father, we just pray for anyone here today who doesn't know you. I ask you, Lord, for a miracle. I ask you to open their heart to Jesus. I pray, Lord, you'd help them to humbly say, I need Jesus. And help them, Lord, just to surrender their life to you, that you can bless them, Lord, the rest of the days they live on this earth in special ways, Lord. We ask, Lord, anybody who's here and has been struggling and fighting you, Lord, not wanting to do your things in your way. And I pray today you just gently help them, Lord. You said your burden is easy and your burden is light, Lord. You just thank you so much for your gentleness. Lord, we just want to give you the praise, and we thank you for all these things. We look forward to that eternity where we can be with you in such an awesome place forever, Lord. And it's all because of you. You get all that glory, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.